This morning is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. Peter speaks to the onlookers. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "People of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disown the holy and the righteous one, and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great to proclaim that truth together. Now let's pray. Let's just be still for a few moments as we ask God to speak to us in these moments shared around his word. We proclaim your lordship with our voices, but we also want to proclaim your lordship with our lives. And so we pray now that we might be encouraged through your word to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before I really get going, I wasn't here at the beginning of the service, so I'm not sure if anything was said at that point, but a big thank you to those who supported us last Sunday. A lot of us were running or walking or crawling the streets around French Hay, and all of us made it back in one piece. And I think most of us are here this morning, and thanks to those who sponsored us in different ways as well and supported. It's a real encouragement to the team going to Tanzania. Some of you may be a little bit curious to know what goes on in our staff team meetings at Christchurch. I'm not going to reveal too many secrets, but we do a lot of reviewing and sharing news together, praying, planning for the future, and one of the things we do each month is we reflect on scripture together. And this week Joe led us in a reflection on a couple of verses from Philippians, and they'll be here for you to take note of throughout this morning. Philippians 3 verses 10 to 11. Just take note of those words. "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." And we spent some time reflecting on that, those two verses, and thinking about what they actually meant to us as individuals this week. What does it actually mean to know or experience the power of the resurrection? What does it mean to attain the resurrection of the dead? We all know that the resurrection of Jesus is at the very heart of the Christian message. I guess most of us here could quite readily recite the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "I've come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness." But if the resurrection of Jesus just remains a historic event and an optimistic claim from a first century rabbi, it's hardly likely to change the world. And so it's really struck me this week that we can learn a significant amount as we listen in on and observe Simon Peter as he speaks to the crowds amassed at the Jerusalem temple, as recorded in Acts chapter 3. Because he speaks of resurrection life. But he also lives resurrection life. We meet him in Acts chapter 3, just after a miraculous healing has taken place. Peter and John have gone up to the temple to pray, and on the way they meet a man who's been disabled since birth. And he's there begging, he's pleading for money. And that provokes the infamous response from Peter. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Some of you know a song about that. And the man is healed, and we're told that he goes away walking and leaping and praising God. And it's hardly surprising that the crowds want to know more. They've just seen resurrection life in action through this miraculous healing. And now Simon Peter speaks to them of resurrection life. But it's not just a word spoken about the resurrection that are important here, because Peter himself is living proof of resurrection life. Peter epitomizes the outworking of Philippians 3, verses 10 to 11. He's been party to the resurrection of Jesus firsthand, but he's also experienced resurrection life for himself. And it's that which gives him credibility and gives him a real fire in his belly as he speaks to the crowd. Because if we think back, Peter was dead in the water when Jesus died, consumed with regret, wallowing in his shame, embarrassed and humiliated, having denied Jesus three times, denying him at his point of greatest need. Peter was a broken man, with no way to put things right. He was at his absolute lowest ebb. And then miraculously, Jesus, the one he let down, was resurrected. And Peter is quite happy to assert to the crowds and to the authorities at the temple, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." What else has Peter been through? Well, remember in a tear-jerking encounter by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had countered Peter's three denials with three commissions, offering him forgiveness, new life, a fresh purpose. And so the one who was dead in the water was now pulsing with life. And to top that, in the interim, Peter's had that experience of Pentecost where he's touched by the Holy Spirit in such a way that his whole demeanor has changed. And his own natural boldness and self-confidence has been replaced and transformed by a supernatural boldness and a confidence in God's power to transform. And so Peter knows the power of resurrection, not just as a concept, but as a heartwarming reality. And so he preaches his heart out with no fear for the consequences. And in this, we're reminded of a key truth, that the experience of a resurrection, the gaining of something, the gaining of life, can only come out of an experience of death, the loss of something. And having experienced the risen life, the resurrection life, what we discover is a Peter who sees things with Jesus' spectacles on. What I mean by that is that we see in his preaching a new godly perspective rather than a typical Peter perspective. Again, think back to Peter pre-Calvary, hot-headed. You could say he had anger management issues. We've seen that in the Garden of Gethsemane where he takes out a sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, only to be rebuked in no uncertain terms by Jesus. He's hardly the sort of person you'd want to lead a peaceful revolution. And yet we find him in Acts 3, he's shooting from both hips in one sense. He doesn't hold back as he admonishes the crowds. But when it comes to it, he sees the people before him through Jesus' lenses. And rather than condemning, he's able to say, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. He's aware of a spiritual dynamic at work. And I think there is an echo of Jesus' words on the cross, where Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Peter goes on to unwrap the message of the gospel. He puts it in the context of the Old Testament scriptures, and he calls them to repentance. And there's that wonderful verse 19, where he says, Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Why do those words have such power and conviction? It's because that has been Peter's own lived experience. He's been brought to repentance. In Jesus' recommissioning of him, the slate has been wiped clean. And he's gone on to experience for himself the times of refreshing. He had somehow attained the resurrection of the dead. And the story of his transformation offers hope for each one of us. The post-resurrection, post-Pentecost Peter is marked with humility rather than pride. He's marked with selflessness rather than ego. A supernatural boldness rather than a purely human boldness. He's quite happy to embrace suffering if that's where the journey might take him. He doesn't just talk a good game, but he lives it out, and God uses him in incredible ways. So what does that mean for us? What's the takeaway for us this morning? Well, I think I'd want to sum it up in just one simple phrase. It's about letting go and letting God. Peter's life-changing experiences have only been possible because he's been willing to let go. He's been willing to trust, and he's been willing to follow. And God has taken a deeply flawed but malleable individual and molded him for his purposes. You may know the famous Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote, When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Dying to self gives God permission to work in us. Gives God permission to bring about the transformation that he desires. And that's what's happened with Peter. He's brought to a place where he's had to die to self, that he might experience the resurrection life. It's actually a decision that we have to make every single day of our lives when we get up in the morning. Are we going to live for self, or are we going to live for God? The work of transformation is a lifelong work. We see that in Simon Peter. But it's only in dying to ourselves that we experience true resurrection life, both now and in the world to come. So let's just pause for a few moments. Let's bear in mind those words on the screen. Let's think about what they mean to us. How do we relate to this idea of resurrection life? How is that worked out in us? How might it be worked out in us in this week ahead? To ourselves, God's refreshing can come. And let's sing of that desire to see God's love poured out upon us. Your love shining like the sun, pouring like the rain, raging like the storm, refreshing me again. I receive your love. Let's stand as we sing this together.